AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Ancient times. I'm glad I was born in these.
Going it out, Vic Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Big thank you to James Worthy. Hell of an effort by Big Game James. In the middle of doing TV, steps aside for a segment and joined us.
Well, you know, we all make mistakes. And a mistake, a scheduling.
Last an hour.
No, not you. But a scheduling mistake was made. By Big Game James himself.
Or?
No, it was Big Game James. I got to the bottom of it. And it's okay, because Big Game James felt bad. A lot of guys would just say, F it.
I'm James Worthy. I'm on the NBA All-75 team.
I'm sitting between Bresnahan and...
Derek Fisher wearing a preacher collar.
And I'm not having it. But he crept out and called us. We had an ugly episode with Vic the Brick to start the show. It's just getting worse and worse. They're going to call domestic violence cops pretty soon on us. And it's
elder abuse. Here we come.
It's getting bad.
Your EA show like, a record. It's like in the game.
Feels like the end of Stan Lee's life is what it feels like, what we're doing to Vic. So that happened. And then we had Lauren from Chef Merito on, and that.
Talk about lifting our spirits.
Lifted our spirits, and they have something great to say. 500 families got the Especie Spices for their Thanksgiving meal that the Chef Merito donated to the Dream Center. You can donate today to help families in our community through the dreamcenter.org. And still to come, we have Rick Neuheisel. Rivalry Week Talk is going to join us on the show. Sweet James is going to join us to find out who we can sue for this or that. And we still have great sports talk all the way until 7 o'clock.
Great sports talk.
And I hate to even bring up the UCLA-North Florida game because it's been the, well, it's been the...
It's a flashpoint.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a flashpoint.
A touchstone for fury.
Vic made a fool of me earlier today.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
He was screaming and yelling about Seton Hall and Michigan, and we insisted that he tried to humiliate and discount the coaching acumen of Mick Cronin. He wasn't having any of it.
Accusations flew.
Yeah, he resorted to personal attacks.
Strong words in the staff room. The accusations fly.
But maybe we'll get past this. We'll see. He did back down and declare that it would be a blowout tonight. UCLA over North Florida. However,
after he was outed as calling it a trap game.
Well, then he was outed calling it a trap game, and you told him that the text also has receipts. That the text also had 2:29 p.m. He called it a trap game, and that's when he backed up and said, well.
It was very Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion-esque. I got the receipts!
If I called it a trap game, then maybe it's a trap game. I mean, then he really pulled it out and just wagged it in our face.
Yeah, he started getting weird. Started getting weird. Where it was like, this person's having a psychic break.
We're breaking him down. Maybe that's not okay.
This person's having a psychic break.
Maybe that's not okay. Hey. What's up, Vic? You're acting psychotic lately.
Speaking of that, we have a psychotic schedule the next 2 days, Matt. Two flex alerts, double up.
Double up. 2 to 4 p.m. Clippers hitting the road. Grizzlies, Ja Morant tomorrow. So 2 to 4 Thursday, 2 to 4 Friday. But today, you get us for a full 4 hours, and that means rivalry week. Speaking of double ups, we got double up. Rick Neuheisel in the next segment. And then we'll have Rivalry Week talk in our 5 o'clock hour.
What's up with you, Ricky New?
We'll find out next.
But first, it's time for the number of the day.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
Number of the day, P, is 8. Get a point tonight. Oh, and you know what? I should have asked for this. Can you give me the LA Kings Anytime We Talk Puck song?
Oh, get it, Ronnie.
Let's go, Ronnie, if you can get it. This is LA.
LA.
Our
city, our home. Los Angeles. We never walk alone.
Here it comes.
We had Alex Iafallo on yesterday.
And it inspired me. It inspired me just like watching their overtime win over the Blues before they went on a horrible four-game losing streak. Inspired me just like their overtime loss against Winnipeg. Inspired me. The Kings have piled up at least a point in each of their last eight games. We are your hockey show of record. I love hockey. I have been miserable the last half decade. The Kings have gone in the crapper after delivering two Stanley Cup titles 10 years ago and 8 years ago.
Are you going to embrace it now?
I'm excited. I have watched two games on this eight game point streak. And some of the names that are on those cups are still around. Kopi, who maybe this is the year he finally gets his Hart trophy. Brownie still there. Dewey. Not Donut. Don't call him Donut. I learned that from your football play-by-play partner, Alex Faust.
Oh,
he doesn't like being called Donut. Dewey.
So what? What's he going to do to
us? Dewey.
What's he going to do to us?
Dewey.
Nothing.
There are a ton of new names.
He needs us more than we need him.
Ain't that the truth? And you know what? There's one name on there, P, that is tried and true when it comes to Kings success, and that's Quickie. 35 years old, still kicking ass. The Kings have not given up more than two goals on this stretch that they are riding. So if you're sick of watching the Lakers throw up all over themselves, how about getting a nice first period in before the Bruins tip off against North Florida? And when they go up by 60, you can get back over to that Kings game. Or maybe you get sucked in. But I'm excited to watch puck again because the Kings are good. And you got that giant-headed Alexander Ovechkin, a damn marvel. Might be one of the greatest.
He rips the puck, according to Iafallo yesterday.
He is, P, currently 26 points, third in the league, 12 goals, second in the league, and is plus-minus fourth in the league at 36. He has got a full head of gray hair, and he is still out there doing it tonight, and he's going to try to do it at what do you think of Crypto.com Center? What will you call it?
How are we going to call Casey?
Will you call it the Crypt?
Probably.
All right.
I mean,
will you call it the
Crypt? I just didn't see it as big of a story.
No, it's a naming rights deal. Big deal. The building's still there. It just signed a lease. It's not going anywhere.
Like, it's not like they built Staples because, like, for a war memorial, like the Coliseum or something.
Right. And it's not like it was called the bus stop. You know, named after Dr. Busters. I know. It was a corporate sponsor the second they cracked their doors.
It was called
Staples Center.
The poop hole, because that's what it was.
Right.
It was for homeless people to poop. Still kind of is.
Well, it hasn't changed, even with all the crypto investment.
Word of the day.
He heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Today's word of the day is hole.
Like poop hole?
Yeah, kind of. I've told you there's a hole in the Oregon football team. Everybody's talking about how Oregon has got a chance to be in the college football playoff or to stay alive. And I hope they do, too, as a Pac-12 advocate myself. However, I have doubts of their ability to get back in there for the first time since the Jameis Winston versus Mariota days. And that is mostly because they got to play Utah twice. And I think Utah's going to get him.
Utah, give me two.
There it is. Give me two.
But the hole, Matt, is that Oregon, for whatever reason, and I think it has a lot to do with Mario Cristobal's style, and I think it has a lot to do as to why people didn't think Justin Herbert could throw coming out of college, and clearly he can, is they don't get the ball to the wide receivers, and they don't much want
That's
to.
That's true.
And Mike Pittman's brother, USC legend. Now, Mike Pittman was an Oaks Christian guy, but the brother, Micah Pittman, who's leaving Oregon, Mario Cristobal announced today, moving on from the program. We wish him the best.
Penned a nice note.
According to Mario Cristobal. Everybody pens a nice note now.
Penned a nice note.
When they leave. But Micah Pittman, only 12 catches this year, is moving on from the program at the University of Oregon. So when everybody tells you that Oregon is a complete and solid football team, They probably are the most complete and solid football team in the Pac-12. But they have a hole. And that hole is not just injuries, but it is just a scheming thing. It is a choice. They are not a team that attacks the perimeter. If they throw it, they throw it short.
Why?
They throw screens. They throw it to the tight ends.
Why?
Mario Cristobal doesn't want to. Just like the same reason Graham Harrell doesn't want to run the ball.
For shame.
Well, if you don't want to do it, you don't normally do it that much.
Unbelievable.
Well, you could say in your press conference, we really want to concentrate on getting it to the outsider. We really want to concentrate on this.
You see the marks, it couldn't be anything else.
But you prove who you want to be with your play calling and with your identity week in and week out. And Oregon has proven they don't like to throw it to those wide receivers.
I don't like it, Mike.
So the wide receivers are now leaving. But I'm sure it's no skin off their nose.
Okay, second down and 9.
It's usually where you're at when you run it on first down.
Everybody knows it's coming. And then you think you're going to throw it.
I mean, they've only lost that one game. So we'll see how it all plays out. But
what a game it was.
Good luck to Pittman. Well, you know, you had that targeting penalty against Thibodeau.
And that was not cool.
The pass interference.
Also not cool.
And then they got it to Humphreys. And he scored. And then Oregon got the ball back in overtime. And then you saw what happened. But they still have a chance. But they won't do it if Oregon makes it to the college football playoff and holds the torch for the West Coast. They're going to do it without Calabasas High School Coyotes standout, Micah Pittman. Ronnie!
This is the song of the day.
Ta-da!
Once Twice Melody is our song of the day from an indie duo out of Baltimore called Beach House. It's the title track to the forthcoming LP that'll be the 8th full-length studio record, a double album presented in 4 chapters, featuring 18 tracks of dreamy indie pop that has a scheduled record release date of February the 18th, that's 2022. And you can see Beach House play the Greek Theater Saturday, April the 9th. It's brand new music from Beach House.
Thank you, Ronnie. Rick Neuheisel going to join us in the very next segment and talk rivalry week.
Remember when Rick Neuheisel was playing against USC and he called a timeout? And so then Pete Carroll threw it deep the next play, and then everybody almost got in a fight.
Pretty awesome. Rick Neuheisel, also the man, I believe, responsible for initiating the conversation about home uniforms moving forward.
And he's the man behind.
Feel that to him.
He's the man behind a lot of the bloody anger between Oregon and Washington.
Got a lot to get into.
And his son coaches at UCLA.
That's right.
We'll be back with Ricky New from CBS on PMS on AM570 LA Sports. Your home of UCLA hoops taking on North Florida tonight. Football taking on USC Saturday, rivalry week.
They're tweeting. They're on Facebook, Instagram. Interact with the show at AM570LASports.com.
For you, our loyal listener.
Petros and Money continues now.
Now. Now. Now.
And Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We have got UCLA basketball tonight. The number 2 ranked team in the nation taking on North Florida at Pauley Pavilion. That'll be a tip-off at 7:30. A pregame at 7 p.m. And then tomorrow we got a flex alert, Clippers, Grizzlies. So we'll be out an hour early, 2 to 4. And I know a little bit later, P, you are going to do some rivalry week talk. But right now, centerpiece of the show.
Well, this guy knows all about rivalry week, playing in it, coaching it, creating rivalries with Oregon when he was at Washington that's still bloody and angry to this day, all because of the great Rick Neuheisel. A great person in college football for many years. Head coach at Washington, Colorado, and UCLA. not to mention his coordinator days in Baltimore. And his son, our friend Jerry, is with the UCLA staff this week right now. Maybe we'll get some inside information.
Hey, now.
From our friend from CBS Sports, Rick Neuheisel, on AM 570 LA Sports, and the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. What's cracking, Coach? How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? Petros, are you doing the game this weekend?
No. It's a Fox game, is it? Yeah, it is a Fox game, but I'm in the Mountain West this weekend, Coach. Proudly in the Mountain West.
I was going to figure out what I needed to do to get fair and equal balanced reporting from you.
Well, you know, I did do that game. I've done a couple SCU-UCLA games in my time, and it's always great to do. And, of course, fair and balanced every time. That's us. But I did that game when you called the timeout, and then Pete Carroll had Matt Barkley go deep, and everybody came out to the numbers, and it was like going to be a fight. My little brother was on the team, and he still hasn't forgiven USC to this day. He wants them to lose every game. Tell us about that one to start.
Well, as we go through them, actually, Pete did exactly what I wanted him to do, which is try to throw. What I was hoping would we get one of those great efforts to get a sack, a fumble, and a recovery, and go down there and tie the game. But Pete went deep and beat us. But you know what? It is what it is. It's a great rivalry. I've had great memories of it, and hopefully the kids playing this weekend will get another great memory for all.
And you were in the center and one of the great adjustments to the rivalry, and that is wearing the home uniforms on both sides, the powder blue and the cardinal in gold. How did that whole thing come up?
Well, when I got the job, I called Pete Carroll for two reasons. One, I wanted to try and hire Kenny Norton to come back and coach at UCLA with us. He was on their staff at the time. And the second reason was, what would it take for us to agree to wear the home jerseys? And I guess the rule was that if the visiting team had to wear the white, unless it was prearranged that you would wear the color like LSU does, but you had to wear the white. And if you came out in the same jerseys, then the team that was not in the proper dress would be assessed a timeout. So I just agreed to take a timeout myself right after that one was taken, and we'd both have two timeouts in the first half and game on. So he said Ken Norton, absolutely, I could talk to him, but then he offered Kenny a bunch more money, and
that was that.
And we agreed on the timeout deal.
Rick Neuheisel, our friend, joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show. Now, Jerry's at UCLA right now. I think that they're an improved football team from the previous years. And it seems to me as if they're sort of headed in the right direction. But it's unfortunate. We've seen it with UCLA basketball, that Mick Cronin has just injected life into it again. And the city has a hunger, a voracious hunger, for that team to be great. It's hard to say that that's not the case with USC football as well. How do we get this rivalry back to when it used to wake up the whole town? It's sad this week, Rick.
It's got to keep the homegrown home. You can't have Bryce Young playing at Alabama. Can't have these great players leaving for destinations far away because they're looking to get into the college football playoff. Both UCLA and USC have the wherewithal to have absolutely powerful programs. They just have to commit resources and attention to it. And if they'll do that, there's no question, especially given that you now have a transfer portal that allows all those kids who have left LA to come back home without having to sit. I think it can be done in short order. And I promise you, George Kliavkoff, the new commissioner of the Pac-12, is hoping that this next hire at USC will get all of that done.
It's hard to, and it just kind of builds on what Petros asked, Coach, that, you know, where we're at with this rivalry as it stands right now, the state of these two programs, that I'm going to ask you a question not about the rivalry game, but instead the Pac-12 as a whole. When you look at the conference, is it as simple as USC's got to get back to being a national power and have, you know, the rest of the conference rise with them? Or how does the Pac-12 go back to being a true Power 5 conference and viewed as one of the top conferences in the nation?
Well, USC is certainly a piece of that. There is no question that USC resonates nationally. You just look at the great players who've worn that jersey and have gone on to Hall of Fames, both at the collegiate level and the NFL level, and they're from all over. They're not just Southern California folks. They're from all over, and that's the power of that brand. And when that brand is going well and it forces UCLA to go along with it, then those games become epic. Both Petros and I have memories of just, you know, unbelievable games. I remember coming down the tunnel when we were sharing the Coliseum as a freshman in 1979, the year Charles White won the Heisman Trophy. And there was, you know, Don Mosebar as a freshman offensive lineman, Keith Van Horn, Anthony Munoz had just left in 78. I mean, it was a monster assortment of talent. And I'm going, holy smokes, is this a good-looking football team? I mean, it was incredible. And that's the power of USC. And yet, I was there with a team with Kenny Easley and Freeman McNeil and guys who were, you know, not picked in the first round. They were picked third and fourth, respectively, in that NFL draft. So this can happen. It just needs to be a priority. And as soon as it wants to be a priority and the universities make an assertment and get the right people who can get that done, then Mr. Klyovkov's going to be a very happy guy because that will happen. The second piece of this is you've got to get the next television deal has to have a network that is going to prioritize UCLA. Larry Scott, prioritize the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Larry Scott, you know, made a deal with the devil to try to get more money by splitting things with both the Fox and ESPN networks. And the problem with that is neither one of them treated us like we were first choice. And the time zones became bad for the fans, bad for the teams, and it just didn't work. And so they've got to get somebody that's going to put them front and center and get the kind of publicity that the conference deserves.
And the USC hire goes hand in hand with that. Rick Neuheisel joining us right now from CBS Sports. We love talking to him. Let's talk about those Bruins. We got the game right here. Kickoff starts at 10:30. 1 o'clock is when we actually kick it off, but Tim Cates will get it going out there at 10:30. It's at the Coliseum on AM 570 LA Sports. Got to ask you, UCLA, I mean, they project to win 8-9 games right now. I know there's been some down spots in the year, and there's been a lot of talk about Chip Kelly, but it seems like they're an improved football team to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, they're an improved football team. I was at the LSU game, and that was a good-looking football team on both sides of the ball. Unfortunately, they have not been as consistent, whether it be offensively or defensively, as need be. And games that were kind of turning point games, the Arizona State game at the Rose Bowl or the Oregon game at the Rose Bowl or the Utah game on the road, those games were kind of, hey, turn the corner, let's make a real run in this south side of the Pac-12. They've squandered those chances and have not played their best. And so this is really their last chance to prove that this is a good team, not just a run-of-the-mill team. It's not a vintage USC team at 4-5, but anytime these two teams and these two brands get together, it's a meaningful outcome. And for Chip Kelly and the future, I think this is really important. He's got to play a really good game this weekend.
Just in terms of, you know, this year and the path that Chip has had to take to get to this point, I don't know if you're comfortable saying it. I know a lot of times coaches don't want to do it to other coaches, but is he behind schedule? If he is, how far behind? A lot of people point to the quarterbacks that he inherited and where that's at right now and whether you think the program is on the right path.
You know, here's the great news about today in college football. It doesn't matter where you are on schedule because you can fix the schedule literally overnight given the transfer portal. We've seen it happen at SMU, where Sonny Dykes had 16 kids want to come back to Dallas, and all of a sudden, the first time they've been ranked since 1984. We've seen it happen at Michigan State. Mel Tucker brought in between 30 and 40 new faces, and right now they're sitting there at 9-1, maybe the darlings of college football based on the expectations that the season began with. So it can happen quickly. I'm hearing the administration is more receptive to allowing kids to come back and transfer. And if that be the case, then both USC and UCLA ought to really be taking inventory of their rosters and finding out who can play and who can't, and making sure that they're inviting those who want to come back home to the beautiful sunshine of California a chance to do just that, because you can fix this really quickly.
You know, I believe that you belong in the Washington Football or the Washington Athletics Hall of Fame, if you're not already, winning a Rose Bowl there and building that team. Are you shocked with how quickly that thing unraveled for Jimmy Lake? I am just agog, and I've done a few of their games this year. I can't believe it.
I'm really disappointed. And it's nice to say that I belong in that Hall of Fame. I don't even think they have my phone number. But the bottom line is, Jimmy didn't get much wiggle room. He obviously made some mistakes. Most coaches do. His, unfortunately, was a visual one. And obviously the team's performance this year, sitting there at 4-6, cost him a job. But after 13 games, I'm not sure how you can say that's inventory and enough time to determine whether a guy is capable of leading your team, especially when you were so high on him in hiring him just a couple of years ago. Probably made a mistake in the choice of offensive coordinator, taking a guy from the NFL ranks that is trying to, you know, make this offense more NFL. I think if you don't have a quarterback that's a run threat, he better be pretty special as a drop back passer in today's day and age. Otherwise, you're just not taking advantage of the rules. And that got him. That got him in a big way this year. So we'll wait and see what happens with that job. You know, I think we're getting ready for a trend here, Petros, that and I don't know how soon it's going to take hold, but it's going to take hold pretty soon, because the alliance of head coach and athletic director have never been more important. Yeah. Because of this name, image, and likeness stuff, where you've got to create, you know, opportunities for your athletes because they're all looking for these opportunities, and there's no way to keep them from being a recruiting deal because the NCAA waited too long to pass rules to keep that from happening, and now the Supreme Court has ruled against them, so there are no guardrails about this. But if you can get an athletic director and a head coach on the same page, all going in the same direction, you're miles ahead of everybody. Look at the success that Josh Heupel and Danny White at Tennessee are having in year one, which is kind of bizarre given how many defections there were from the volunteer program a year ago. So I'm you know, Mike Bone, I know he's got a job open. If he can get Luke Fickell and get those two guys back together, that would be a huge jump start for SC. Not because Fickell's a perfect fit in California, but because Fickell's a perfect fit in the trusting relationship he has with the current athletic director.
They know each other. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Last thing for you, Coach. We hear you on Sirius. We see you on CBS Sports. Just because it always seems to be a flashpoint of conversation, your thoughts on the playoff and the four teams and where they stand, and if you think it's going to stay where it is right now, or if you have an opinion on who should be in there, and who are the four best teams in the nation right now?
Well, the playoff has to expand. It has all but ruined the Pac-12. And certainly there have been other losers in this new concoction we know as the college football playoff. It's cost coaches their jobs. It's a nuisance right now because it just basically favored about, you know, seven or eight programs that all got to be there on an annual basis and, you know, basically harvest recruits like there was nobody's business. So the playoff has to change, and I think it will rather quickly as soon as they can figure out who's going to get to televise it. So that's on the drawing board. As for this particular season, Georgia is an obvious choice. Alabama's getting kind of the favored nation kind of treatment because of their rich history in the college football playoff and with Coach Saban. So it's understandable that they're still there. Oregon and Ohio State would make a nice foursome if they hold court. Cincinnati, I know, feels like it's getting a raw deal, but unfortunately for them, the American Conference has been down this year, and they have been unimpressive in terms of their victories in the league. You know, it's not fair, but as the saying goes, fair is where you give a blue ribbon to a pig. It's not going to be fair until we expand. And then, you know, the sleepers sitting out there, Michigan State, they can solve their own problems because they get to play Ohio State. And then Notre Dame's got to sit and hope for, you know, carnage. And the other one that I think still has an outside hope is Oklahoma State. They've been phenomenal defensively, And if they can be impressive, not only this week against Texas Tech, but also beating Oklahoma and then maybe Baylor again in the playoff, they might be sneaking around the chicken coop and jump in there should one of those teams fall.
Well, we'll be thinking about Rick during Rivalry Week. You can see him on CBS putting in big work as a big-time college football studio champion. We love Rick Neuheisel. Thank you, Coach, and have a great Rivalry Week and night.
You boys do the same. It's always fun. And, Petros, you follow this with Go Trojans, but I'm going to give you a little Go Bruins.
Go Trojans.
There you go, buddy.
I guess.
Thank you, Coach.
We love him. Rick Neuheisel. Coming up next, Sweet James.
Mm.
Who can we sue?
Vic.
Yeah, I think maybe.
And we're going to sue him.
For his insolence.
Right? You think verbal lashing is all you're getting? No. Knock, knock. Who's there? Papers, that's who. Sweet James will join us next. We got an NFL story. We got Rivalry Week talk. We're going until 7 p.m. tonight. 4 hours today, only two the next two. We got 2 to 4 tomorrow, 2 to 4 on Friday because of Clippers basketball on the East Coast. But when we return, Sweet James.
And money on your smart speaker.
Mic check, mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes.
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
Well, yeah, because Sweet James is in, like, St. Barth's or something.
Barbados?
Somewhere.
The DR?
The PR. Dickerson was in the DR.
And the PR.
Joining us now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, it is the Dance Spirit of Justice.
Order in the court. Order in the court. It's time for Justice with Sweet James.
Never has justice been so sweet as when Sweet James comes on and delivers it. Against the insurance companies, against whoever's trying to take advantage of you. That's why you got to give them a call if you've ever been in a car accident. Can't trust the insurance company. Can't trust it. 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com. What's cracking, Sweet James? How are you?
I'm so happy to hear you guys' voice. How are you?
Great.
I love you. I miss you guys.
We miss you too, Sweet James. But
will you tell us where you are?
Money survived the COVID.
I did.
Matt's
you're okay.
Alive.
You feeling good?
I survived, but I would like to sue the COVID. Do you know if we can? Can we sue the COVID? Can we sue it?
We're going to sue the COVID. We actually have to serve the COVID. That'll be it. Okay. Perfect.
Done. All right. That's out of the way.
We've got a wedding coming up, Sweet James.
Yes, sir.
And Kevin Figgers is going to get married. Let's say Matt gets belligerently drunk at that reception.
Entirely possible.
And does some unsavory things. Can there be a civil suit?
Yeah, there probably could be a civil suit.
So if you act stupid at somebody's wedding, can they sue you afterwards?
Yeah, there would be certain parameters that have to be met, but yeah, it's possible. If you interfere with a public proceeding like that, yeah, you could be liable for something.
Like you broke these flowers, you fell into this whole flower arrangement, it cost $30,000, pay up.
You knocked the photographer over and his film rolled out and it's all exposed, there's no photos, yeah, you could be in trouble.
All right. It's good to know.
That is very
of course,
good
photographers don't ever use film anymore, but you know what I mean.
Digital. You fell into a photographer. A photographer breaks their leg in a fountain. One of the doves drowns.
Yeah,
something like that. So this could be a litigious event.
When's this going to happen?
The Figgers event could be.
It could be very litigious.
That's good to know because we're going to be able to work with that as we move on. Sweet James Bergner is our guest at 1-800-500-5200 if you've ever been in an accident, if you've been injured. You better call Sweet James.
That's exactly right. And should we get into it or no? Are we going to back off or are we going
to... I don't want to back off.
Are we going to full throttle this?
Hit the nose.
All right. Here we go. James, we feel like Vic We feel like Vic might be sabotaging the show.
He's trying to destroy our show.
He's trying to destroy us.
No,
he's trying to make Matt look like an idiot today.
What?
Yeah,
Are you kidding me? Never.
He is painting me to be a senile old man, losing his faculties in my advanced age.
Now, you are recovering from the COVID. Are you okay?
I have heard that COVID long-term could be
fogginess.
That's
a number on your memory.
So maybe that's it. Yeah. But that's why we're suing the COVID. Vic's aggressive behavior and his unwillingness to back down over this UCLA basketball trap game thing, we feel like is affecting the show and is affecting our perception amongst the percentage of our listeners. And we'd like to sue him for his behavior and not acquiescing to anything we say and the insults we send his direction.
I cannot sue Vic the Brick. I have an attorney client.
Well, can you refer us?
So I can't. No, I'm not going
to
refer.
You can't refer us to somebody who will attack Vic.
That would betray my attorney client trust with Vic.
Now, what if we don't sue Vic? We sue the company, our employer, for making us talk to Vic.
Yeah, I do. I would do that. Yeah, I could do that.
So you'd sue iHeartMedia. All right.
Yeah, we'll sue iHeart and Don and everybody. We'll sue all the boys. Yeah. What was he saying that was so egregious that it has affected this amazing PMS show?
He disparaged Mick Cronin.
Yeah.
Our friend Mick Cronin.
Took a shot at Mick, head coach at UCLA. He's playing trap games, wouldn't back down, lied to us.
Coming around here lying.
Said that it was going to be a blowout tonight when in the updates he was saying it was a trap game.
He made Matt look up a football schedule.
Yeah, and I thought, I was like, hey, they didn't lose to Seton Hall. They just beat Penn State 27-13. And I was like, oh, that doesn't sound right.
No.
Made a fool of you, James.
Okay.
Complete fool.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So, how do we get him? How do we get to him? How do we make him sweat? Can we at least serve him with papers? Papers to make him feel it?
Petros, we could do that. But we could put our arms around him, embrace him, and love him, and bring him back into the fold. It's VTB. Come on, man.
We're pissed.
Super.
We're pissed.
We told him not to call it a trap.
Super.
Look, we told him not to call it a trap game, and he defied us, and on every update for the rest of the night, called it a trap game. And we couldn't yell him down or do anything.
No, it's a self-contained update.
And there's nothing. We can't physically beat him up. He's too old. So we have to make him wear it. Obviously, verbally abusing him doesn't get us anywhere.
Right.
How do we hurt him? It's your job as a lawyer to tell us how we can hurt him.
No, we're not hurting VTB. There's got to be a better way. Come on.
Can we get him to sign a non-disclosure agreement to never say trap game again? Can you draft those papers?
I could work on that. I could work on that. Yeah, we could do something like that.
How much does it cost to get a guy to draft papers like that? Like just a number.
Right.
Let's say I wanted my entire life NDA'd. Right? Let's say we were I don't want anybody talking about me ever again. How much is it going to cost me?
Anybody you contact with has to sign an NDA, and there they go. They go off the money.
Right. Everybody that's ever put...
What if we use muscle to get him to sign it? Are we in trouble or
yeah,
not?
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
either your signature or your brains.
That's a different cost.
Hold him out the window.
But to get the NDA anywhere...
But let's say I would need like
$1,500 to $5,000.
Per NDA?
You get it done, but then you're... No, just one NDA gets done. And
let's
then
say
never
I
have
need
to
like 100 people to sign an NDA. Is it 5,000 per person?
Nope, just 5,000. It was 1,500 to 5,000 for the NDA, and then and whatever it is per muscle to get the people to sign it. There you go. Wait, come on, I do anything for the PMS show for free. You need an NDA, I got you.
Are you in an undisclosed location, or will you share which Caribbean island you're in for us? We were taking guesses earlier.
All right, give me your top three guesses.
Well, we started with, what did we start with?
St. Thomas,
then we went little Dominican Republic, then we went some Puerto Rico.
Yeah, somebody said Belize.
Yeah.
I think I said Barbados, maybe.
Ooh, Belize. Yeah.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Costa Rica.
Tica.
Ooh, nope, all those are wrong.
Cuba.
Nope.
Oh, that was a delay before he said
one more.
Nope.
Come on, one more.
St. Croix?
I think Petros has it on tip of his tongue.
Antigua?
Nope, not
St. Croix. Kate's just guessed Haiti.
Ooh, so close. St. Bart's.
Yeah!
Oh, there we go. I was about to go Aruba.
Yeah.
You tell Bart we said hi.
Jamaica, do you want to make a
call? Bermuda, Bahama, call a pretty mama.
Antigua.
And then I think he says Oswego.
I don't
Lake
know.
Oswego.
Yeah, take me to Lake Oswego, down to Oswego. We'll get there fast, and Kevin Love will go. All right, remember to put the lime and the coconut
the
and drink them both together.
It will flow.
Lime and the coconut, James.
I miss you guys.
Drink them both together.
Love you.
Goodbye.
James getting sued. Oh, no. Vic's getting sued by James. James going to do the suit.
I'm sure James is constantly in the state of being sued. He's a lawyer. He doesn't sweat it like most people do.
No.
I was going to say Rhode Island.
Good guess.
Rhode Island slut. We'll be back with the
Narragansett.
Top story of the day.
Narragansett beer.